Mark chapter 3, verse 20 to 35. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they say, "He is out of his mind." And the teacher of the law who came down from Jerusalem say, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, but by the prince of demons he is driving out demons." So Jesus called them over to him and began to speak to them in parable. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, then kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, then that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself as is divine, he cannot stand, his end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Truly, I tell you, people can forgive all their sin and every slander the utter, but whoever blasphemes again, the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They were guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying he has impure spirit. Then Jesus' mother and brother arrived, standing outside. They sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brother are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brother?" he asked. Then he looked at those sitting in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brother. Whoever does God will is my brother and sister and mother." Amen.
Thanks, Edward. Friends, let's pray as we come to God's word this morning. Father in heaven, as we look at your word now, and as we think your thoughts about church as family, it really is tough because we live in a culture that's very individualistic. And it's a real kind of mind shift that we are pleading that you will give us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, this is a topical talk. And so we're not just going to, as we usually do, just kind of work systematically through a book. We're going to kind of move here and there. There are 7 points, but don't get discouraged. We'll move through them quite effortlessly, I promise you. And all of the passages that we're going to look at will come up on the screen behind me, so you don't need to kind of keep flipping through your Bibles. They'll all be up there on the screen. Point number one is this. There are 3 conversions that everyone needs to make. Now, I am stretching the word conversion here just a little bit. The first one is a commitment to Jesus Christ, without which there can be no forgiveness. The second one is a commitment to the local church. You can't love Jesus if you don't love his people. And the third one is about the kingdom of God, a commitment to the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is bigger than me, it's bigger than my family, it's bigger than my church. It's got to do with a passion for the nations. Today, we're going to focus in on that second one, which is a commitment to the local church. So we're going to explore that question, what if we really believed that the church is God's family? Point number 2, what is the church? Now, there are 2 mistakes that you've got to avoid. 2 mistakes. Mistake number 1 is this. The word church in the Bible is never used to refer to a building. It was 150 years before the first building ever was built. Secondly, the word church in the Bible never refers to a denomination. So never hear about Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, whatever it is, because they weren't around. In fact, you've got to wait 1,000 years after Jesus, before the church first splits. Okay, so if that's what it's not, What is it? What is it? The church is God's people gathered in Christ around his word, which is exactly what we're doing now, united by his spirit. And there are lots of images in the Bible for the church to describe us. We are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. Just like you can't love me and not love my wife Yvonne, who's gone out with the kids. You can't love Jesus and not love his bride, the church, because he spilt his blood for us, the church. The church is also described as the temple of God. That is to say that God personally dwells with us in a unique way. And so, yes, going to church doesn't make you into a Christian. I hope you know that. I hope you know that this morning. But at the same time, you can't be an obedient Christian and not go to church. If you ignore the special place of the church in God's heart, then you actually don't get God. And for one reason is that we, the church, are God's special family. We're not just family, we're his special family. Can you remember the first time that you ever went to church? Look, for many of you, it wouldn't be here at Fulcara. But do you remember that time? I remember when I was a university student going to church. Now, when you're that age, you only generally hang out with people who are either just a little bit younger or a little bit older than you are. And I remember going to church, and there were kind of like old people there, you know, people in their 30s and in their 40s. And with kids and grandparents, and they asked questions and they wanted to know what's going on in your life. They were interested in you. And I thought to myself, what's going on here? I thought to myself, what on earth am I doing here? I mean, I'd said yes to Jesus, and it seemed like I'd inherited a nursing home. That's what it felt like. I mean, I'm 20 and everyone else is 30 years or older. And then I thought to myself, hang on a moment. These are the very people who Jesus died for. If they matter to him, they've got to matter to me. And from that point, I picked up a wife and I scored a whole lot of long-term friends at the same time. Point number three. Just give old Sasha a bit of a nudge there, Margaret. Just give him a poke. Otherwise, he's going to keep going. There we go. Point number three. In what way is FCC God's family? And this is really important. We've got to ground our understanding. It's not just warm, fuzzy thinking. Here's the first thought. We share the same God and Father. So that's what binds us together. The highest privilege of a Christian is that he can and she can call out to God as dad. It doesn't get any better than that, dear friends. It really doesn't get any better than that. We are adopted as God's children. 1 John 3 verse 1, I love this verse and I think you will too. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called what? Children of God. And that is what we are. Friends, that is what you are. That is what you are in Christ Jesus. Don't ever take that for granted. Now, friends, God is your Father, but understand that it is only because Jesus is your Lord. It's a very exclusive message. Jesus says you can't come to the Father except through me. And Jesus is not only our Lord, but he's actually our older brother too. So that there's a sense where in the Bible, Jesus is both our focus of worship and at the same time, he leads us in worship to the Father. The other surprising thing is this. The Bible rarely, in fact, never talks about Jesus' death for individuals, even though it's true. The Bible loves to talk about Jesus dying for us, his family, his body, his elect, his sheep. So in Ephesians chapter 5, 25, a pattern of how husbands ought to relate to their wives. He says this, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, the church, the gathering. So think about that. As a family, the lot of us standing together at the foot of the cross, and yet each of us needing his death for our forgiveness. This family that God has created, that he's appointed us to, is a family where we're a family of sinners, saved by pure grace. That is why we can't look down on each other. Blood is thicker than water, that's what they say, but the blood of Jesus is thicker still that binds us together because it creates a forever family. And more than that, we're actually all born of the one Spirit. You know, there's a special bond with your biological brother, your biological sister, isn't that right? Because you come from the same womb. But it's like every Christian has been born out of the womb of God. Born of God, born of Spirit. And I'm telling you that that is more profound than your blood family. A prayer that I love to pray goes like this. Dear God, you are the father I never had. You, Lord Jesus, are the brother I wished I had. And you have given me your Spirit, whom I desperately need to have. Thank you for including me in your family. Amen. So that means that every Christian in this room is your brother or your sister. Think about it. The local church, Fulcara Community Church in our case, is your special family if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus. And if you're not, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, and you can then join us in a profound sense, not in just a notional sense. And the local church is its own unique miracle. Paul says to the church in Colossians chapter 3, listen to what he says. He says, here there is no Greek, so that's non-Jew or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. I mean, here at Fulcara Community Church, we're quite a diverse bunch. I mean, we've got young, we've got old, we've got different cultures, we've got different values, we've got different backgrounds. Look, we could be more diverse, and that is true, but there we are. But friends, let me say this to you, that with all of those differences, we leave them at the door as we come in. As we come into God's family, all the differences kind of just get merged into our union with Christ Jesus. And that is the most beautiful thing. And that's why I've noticed, friends, that when people go rogue, when people think that they can go solo from the church, that people just kind of regress to hanging out with their own kinds, you know what I mean, with their friends or with their families. That's what they do. And I think to myself, well, that's no fun, that's no challenge. Even the pagans do that. There's no kind of mystery that glorifies God when you just hang out with your own friends, with your own kind. There's no wonder of the power of Jesus that brings kind of such diverse people together, people who have absolutely nothing in common except the Lord Jesus. That is its own miracle. Now, friends, here's a quote. I'm quoting from Dorian Rees here, so you better listen up very carefully. Are you listening? Fellowship in Christ among radically different people is more glorifying to God than the best friendship. Fellowship in Christ among radically different people is more glorifying to God than the best friendship. I remember a friend coming to visit our church. It was in the early years of my ministry, and he was not a Christian guy. And after church, we got home, and I said to him, well, look, how did you find it? How did you find being at church? And he said to me, well, I saw a teenage boy having coffee, having fellowship with a 60-year-old man. And he said, Dorian, where else do you see that happening in this world? You don't see it happening anywhere else but the church. And it was like, wow, the power of Jesus Christ to transform lives. Point number four. Jesus redefines family for us. In the early part of Mark's Gospel, that passage that Edward read for us a little bit earlier on, there's a moment where Jesus' family thinks that he's gone mad. They think that he's gone crazy. He's gone loony. The crowd is pressing in on him. He's just doing kind of flat-out ministry. And he and his disciples don't have time to eat, so he's not eating. So the family come, they see he's not eating, and they want to take charge of Jesus because they think that he's gone crazy. And then in verse 31, we read these words. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they say to him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." I mean, even the crowd expect Jesus to kind of drop everything because it's his mom speaking. You know, when your mom speaks, you listen. Isn't that right? Moms outrank everybody. But now notice how Jesus responds to the fact that Jesus' mom's outside the door and wanting Jesus to come outside with the brothers. Notice what he says. It's so radical. Verse 33, it's up there already. He says, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. And then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers." And look at it. It's striking, this next little bit. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Goodness me. That is one of the most radical things that anyone could say. Isn't that right? Now, Jesus is pro-family, but he is now kind of redefining who the people of God are. And they're not just the children of Abraham. They're not just the Jews. He's defining the people of God as those who gather around him, hearing his word and obeying him. You're not born into this family. You need to be born again. You need to be born again. Do you notice how I say that it's not coming to church that is making you into a Christian, although I'm grateful that you're here. Please do come again. But it's those gathered, look where you have gathered, hearing his word. Listen carefully as you come. And then obeying, responding to his word in whatever way you're challenged to do so. And what it does is, with Jesus as Lord and as brother, and God as Father, we become brothers and sisters. Think about it. Every male in this room who is in Christ is your forever brother. Every female in this room who is in Christ is your forever sister, which means then that I need to act accordingly with them. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. And the better we get at relating that way, the healthier our community will be. Point number 5, God chooses who is in his family. Finish this sentence for me, won't you? You can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. But God gets to pick who is in his family. And by the way, he did that before the creation of the world. And look, it's worth saying, isn't it? We've got to be realistic. Whether it's your earthly family or whether it's your church family, you naturally connect with some more than you do others. Isn't that right? And that's okay. But friends, we can be so desperate, I think, for friendship, can I say, that we devalue the beautiful fellowship that we have right across the board with every single brother and sister in Christ. You know, friends, if God chooses who is in his family, then I don't get the right to be picky. Now, I'm not saying that you need to get deep and meaningful with every single person at church. I want to be realistic about it. But there's a principle here, and it's this, that I honor God's choice by loving those who come my way, who are my brothers and sisters in the fellowship at Falkara Community Church. And the church is God's family, whether you feel like it or not. You don't have to wait for the feeling before it becomes the reality. And I know that we are living in a feeling-driven culture. But again, let's remind ourselves of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18 says this, "I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord." I mean, that's a God-given reality, whether you feel like it or not. And yet, we do have different senses of feeling like we belong. And you'd have that no matter what church you are from, if you're a Christian person and visiting. And again, thank you for being here this morning. And I understand that we do have different senses of feeling like we belong. And point number six, let's just think about a sense of belonging. I've been chatting to people just in the last little while, and I've intentionally asked them the question, do you have a strong sense of belonging to this gathering here at Falkara Community Church? I've asked them that question, and many of them said, yes, I've got a strong sense of belonging. And that's great. It really is wonderful to hear that. But a few people who I spoke to said, Dorian, no. And I wish that I did by now. And these aren't people who are new at church. These are people who've been around for quite a while. They've been with us for some time. And they just haven't naturally clicked. And they haven't found this to be their home at the kind of experiential level. And so let's think just for a moment about some of the reasons why that might be the case. Now, the obvious reason is that you haven't been loved properly. I mean, you were sick, no one visited you, you shared a struggle, no one followed up on it. You tried to talk to people after church and someone just shut down the conversation and left you by yourself. And that's an awful experience. I wish that never happened here at Falkara Community Church. I know that it does, and we want to get better at that. For others, it would be that your sense of belonging is lacking because your own attitude is not quite right and you need to work on it. You approach church from the vantage point of being served rather than to serve. You come as a consumer rather than a contributor. And friends, I just want to say that with that attitude, you'll probably never call any church your home. It's interesting, a number of people over the years have said to me when they shifted around on their attitude and they approached church thinking, now who can I bless here? They said to me, look, all of a sudden I realized that my sense of belonging grew stronger and stronger and stronger. And you know why? Because it is more blessed than it is, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Don't rip yourselves off. Don't rip yourself off. Come and chat to me afterwards. I'd be delighted to chat to you about ways in which you could serve here. For others, you may well battle with self-doubt or with anxiety or with shame. And you come to church and you look around and you think, well, everyone has got it together except me. Can I just say this on the Sunday morning? That is so not true. No one has got it together. No one has got it together. Can we just put that on the table one more time? We are sinners saved by grace. That's what we are. God is our dad. We are going to heaven, but no one has got it all together. But there is a sense where it kind of does hold you back, isn't that true? And especially if you deal with anxiety and it becomes kind of clinical depression. Sometimes it's kind of like thinking, you know, I don't have that gift. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says this, using a kind of body image where different parts of the body represent different people in the church with different gifts. He says, you know, if the foot should say to the hand, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Friends, because you don't think that you're part of the body, doesn't stop you being part of the body. Jesus has purchased a special place in God's family just for you. So try not to listen to your feelings. I mean, you need to hear them, of course you do. But try to speak the word of God into your feelings. And God is saying, you belong. Now for others, the sense of belonging is missing because you're still fairly new. You're new at this church and you haven't yet got connected. And that's why if you hear us talking about growth groups, Bible study groups, prayer and praise evenings, or hope explored, or things like that, it's a way to begin to feel part of the family. That's how you do it, as you mix on a smaller scale with others. And so choose now to give it a go if you haven't already. Come and chat to me afterwards, or just come along when these things start up again in 2 weeks' time. A pastor friend once said to me, it often happens like this as a pastor. He says, some people join your church and they really love it. They really love it. They think it's great. They rave about it. They tell everyone about it. But they don't quite get connected. They keep church on a fringe. They don't connect with the people. They're sort of semi-regular on Sunday mornings. But that's about it. And it's okay. It works for a while, but after about a year to 18 months, they start to get a feeling. And the feeling, they think, is telling them, I'm not feeling connected. I think I need to go to another church. And this pastor friend of mine says, what happens is that they misread the feeling. What that feeling is saying is, no, don't go to another church. Get more connected. That's what the feeling's saying. And so, friends, when you get that feeling, just tell yourself, that feeling is saying, get more connected. Why? Because this is God's special family. Point number 7. If we really believe that the church is God's family, then hey, let's make God's family a priority. Hebrews 10. Look, we're finishing up now. Let's see if this thing works. Yeah, there we go. Hebrews 10. This is what it says. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. So it's a fairly clear instruction as you look there behind me. Don't give up meeting together. Get into the habit. Healthy families regularly meet to encourage one another around the dinner table, wherever it is. That would be a definition of a healthy family. And that's exactly what God is saying here. You see, some had gotten into the habit of not meeting for whatever reason. Probably it was persecution back then. And he is saying to us, don't follow that example. And as you look there, as you regularly meet, build each other up. Encourage each other with an eye to that day when the Lord Jesus comes back. Because when he comes back, let me tell you, dear friends, he's going to tell you what he thinks about your gathering regularly and encouraging one another. And this is what he's going to say, because we know what he's going to say, because he tells us in Matthew chapter 25. Jesus takes us to that last day. He separates the sheep, his people, from the goats. And he says to the sheep who he wants to bring into heaven, he says, let me tell you, when were you there for my people? Because whenever you were there for my people, you were there for me. Well done, he says, good and faithful servants. When you loved them, you loved me. Well done. Listen to Galatians 6:10, just to emphasize the priority. Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, Now that's reminding us you can't be everything to everyone. You've got to set boundaries. It's very important. Do you see? Let us do good to all people. And then the priority, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. We are family. Friends, really what we're saying is, God is really jealous for his people. And he wants you to have a passion for his people. And what it means is, it's about setting a kind of clear course in your life where this is clear. You've got this second conversion worked out. You follow Jesus. Now you know that you need a commitment to the local church. And as you kind of set your God-given course, you will discover that you can't say yes to everything. That's obvious, isn't it obvious? You say yes to something, you say no to something else. Isn't that right? And so you will constantly get invitations. And I'm not talking about the exception to the rule here. I'm not a legalist. But I'm talking about what habit you are trying to form, what trajectory you are trying to take. So where there's a family invite, where there's a sport event, whether there's a work function, a birthday, an entertainment option, that okay, you might break your pattern from time to time on occasions, but the general rule of thumb says this, that I want to make the right choice, not the popular choice. I want to keep thinking like God, who says, don't give up meeting together, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Well, let me wrap it up. In conclusion, just let's say a couple of things too. After church, when we go and have tea and coffee together, can I encourage you to use family language? Can I ask you to do that? Look, it might be a little bit strange, but let's just try this morning, just for one morning at the very least. When you're having coffee and you meet together with another Christian male, you know, why don't you say to them, how's it going, brother? How's it going, brother? Bro. You know, great to see you. Or if it's a lady, you know, sister, great to see you. And see what happens. Do that. See what happens. Because our language defines our reality. The other thing that I want to say to you is this. You need God's family. Like, you need me, and I need you. Here's a quote from Rick Warren. Satan loves detached believers, unplugged from the life of the body, isolated from God's family, and unaccountable to spiritual leaders, because he knows that they are defenseless and powerless. A lot of people don't make it. They go solo, they go rogue, and then they end up going away from Christ. You need us. We need you. Let's pray together. Dear God, you are the Father we never had. You, Lord Jesus, are the brother we wish we had. And you've given us your Spirit, whom we desperately need to have. Thank you for including us in your family. Thank you for allowing us to be partners in reaching the lost in our portion of Donegal, and so adding even more people to your family here at FCC. Help us all to know and to experience a deeper sense of belonging, for we truly are your forever family. In Jesus' name, amen.